Terminator starts murdering everybody he sees. The dogs are barking. The dogs are upset. Terminator is knocking them down one by one as they come through. And then he aims at the dogs and kills the dogs. What did the dogs do? Like, don't kill the dogs. Humans, fine. Like, you shouldn't kill humans either. But, like, that might have been your mission. Don't kill the puppers. They were just doing what they were told. I'm sure that they could probably learn to love you as well if you took them on your side. What's poppin', y'all? Welcome to Post Finale. I'm your host, Ankit Madeira. I'm an actor and a singer who hasn't seen a lot of films before, so to make my friends happy and potentially provide a new perspective on some popular films, I am on a quest to change that. I'm not alone, however. This week, I am joined by P.T. Russell, an artist, writer, and the host of the Journaling with P.T. podcast. P.T., how are you doing?
Good. I'm ready to go. Let's get it started.
Wonderful. So, yes, as you know, we have discussed, and as the listeners know, we are continuing our discussion of the Terminator, and we are talking about the first Terminator movie. Now, before we get into any of the film, PT, you were the one that told me Terminator is one of your favorite films. So, when did you first see it? Like, when did you first get connected with it? First impressions? Do you remember any of that?
Oh, I was terrified. I was about, I think, 11 or 12 when I saw it for the first time. And I was literally terrified. I was like, okay, what is this? Is this a horror or sci-fi? That's what I was thinking. But I fell in love with it at the same time. Something so captivating about the music and the images and Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course.
Yeah, fair. Mm-hmm. Nice. Very good. Yeah, as you know, this is my first time watching it, but wonderful. So you watched it when I would say you were quite young to maybe watch a film like mm-hmm. this.
I know. Well, I'm from a culture. I'm from the Bahamas originally, and things go out the window. I mean, there's this side, like there are movie buffs really on the island, but, and so they're very strict in one regard, and the other regard is like, okay, you can watch anything you want to watch basically once it's not porn. So it was okay. My mother was okay with me watching Terminator, and I fell in love with it. Like I said, I'd never seen anything like it before.
Okay. Yeah. When, I don't remember exactly when it came out. I look up everything at the end. I specifically don't look up anything, as the listeners know, to avoid as many spoilers as possible. But I want to say it came out in 84?
It did.
Okay, it did. Cool. That's what I wanted to remember. So that makes sense, because I was
I didn't watch it when it first came out, though. I watched it later.
Sure. Yeah. See, when I, you know, watch, as I'm watching it, and it's just like, yes, it's one, nothing like I've ever seen before. But then also, I'm like, okay, there are films from this time that are like, you know, significantly higher quality. But then I learned in the last two episodes with our previous guest, Bob, that it was made on a shoestring budget. So that like reevaluated the way that I look at the film a little bit.
Yes.
But speaking of the film, why don't we get back into it and where we are? So,
all right, let's do it.
Where we are, we have just had a massive car chase. Terminator was chasing Reese and Sarah down. Sarah was able to stop, but Terminator slammed into a wall. Reese and Sarah got arrested, but Terminator nowhere to be found. So, we're at the police station, and Sarah is obviously very shaken up in what's going on. And Ed gives her a drink. He's a very kind, thoughtful cop. And he asks her to try and drink it. Not even forcing her to drink it, just says try. Very kind. Love him. I'm heartbroken that he's probably going to die. So she then says, and then this is where I realized, I was like, oh, wait a minute. She probably just found out that Matt and Ginger have died, didn't she?
Yes, yes.
And then the next thing that Ed says is that they have already identified the bodies. And I was like,
I know.
I picked it up. I was right. Not that it was a very difficult thing to pick up.
And she says, Ginger! Yeah, she was feeling it. It was tough.
Yeah. I do feel bad for her. I do feel bad for her. But who knows? Then, at the same time, Ed introduces her to Dr. Silberman. And he asks Sarah to tell him everything that Reese told her. She explains everything, I'm presuming. We don't see it on screen. But Silberman reveals that he is a criminal psychologist. And Sarah asks if Reese is crazy, and that's what they are here to find out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why. I don't fully trust Silberman.
I don't like Silberman. I never did.
Okay. Okay.
It's just his callous way of dealing with Sarah to begin with. To me, it was like, he was very insensitive.
Okay.
Very insensitive, yeah, about how he approached her. I mean, this is someone who just lost her friends, right? And
right.
He's just like matter of fact about it. I don't know. Kind of off-putting.
Fair. Completely fair. Yeah. For me, I didn't really find it that off-putting because to me, it felt like he was more trying to just understand who Reese was. Mm. Like, he understands that Sarah is in danger or what kind of what the situation is. But then he's like, all right, who is Reese and what is his main thing? So I didn't really feel like that's why I couldn't trust him. I didn't feel like I could trust him because of things that happened a bit later. But meanwhile, before we figure out if Reese is crazy, we see the Terminator. And he has arrived to a very dark and empty room. And he turns on the light. And we see that his left eye is very red. It's bloody.
He's decomposing.
Closed
There's
shut, yeah.
Flies all over his face.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Flies.
He can't open his eye, nothing. Mm. So he sits down. He pulls off the glove of his right hand, which also seems injured, I notice. And then he rolls up his sleeve and reveals a very big gash.
Did you see what he was looking at? Did you see what he was reading?
No.
And what he was reading in that scene was an address book. And it says Mom's Cabin on it.
Oh.
Yeah, if you zeroed in on his eyes, you'd see it. Like, because his eyes were like that weird eye, the bionic
eye,
was like zeroed in on it and it was all in red. And
yeah,
and you saw it says Mom's Cabin in an address book. Yeah.
Well, I did miss that. I do wonder if that's going to come into play.
Oh, who knows?
I don't know. Now I'm going to be thinking about it. So. Here we go. Well, I guess I'll have to look out for Mom's Cabin in the last part of the film. Mm-hmm. We'll see if we end up at a cabin. We might. Who knows? I don't. You do. I don't. So he does roll up his sleeve. There's a massive gash on his forearm. And, you know, he grabs an X-Acto knife and he starts cutting into his arm. And he grabs a couple of other tools, which are harder to place. I couldn't really tell which tools they were.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, but, I think one of them might have been a pair of scissors. One of them might have been like a spoon.
He actually had an incision, but he actually sliced it open even bigger is what he did with the scalpel thing.
Yeah. And so that's what we see next is that he has completely opened up his wound on his arm, and you can see all the mechanics inside of his arm working. They're like these pistons and they're these little metal rods that are just inside of his body. And he reaches in and he starts adjusting the little rods.
Scary as hell. When you see what he's actually doing.
When, in terms of like fixing himself.
Not just fixing himself. Did you see which fingers he was focused on?
It was his trigger finger, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. It's scary as hell. He's like getting it ready for action.
Sure. You think it's scary. I just think that makes sense based on what he should be doing. Like, yeah, he needs to be able to shoot a gun. That's his job. Like, you know He's doing what he's got to do. I didn't think it was scary as hell.
Scary? He's terrifying, man. Look at the guy.
I do think, like, I've never been one to really love horror films. I never really got into them. But then at the same time, I'll watch stuff like this and be like, oh, yeah, so matter of fact by it. But then, like, the moment you turn on a horror film, I'm like, no, I don't like this. So, like, I don't know where the discrepancy comes for me of, like, where I think things are terrifying and gross and where I think things are just scary and terrifying and gross.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's terrifying. With I'm sure focus he was giving that finger, and he like kind of recoiled it back a couple of times. Like, this is how I'm really been testing it out. You know, it's like I'm really getting this thing ready. It's going to be better than ever.
Yeah. I just thought that he was just fixing himself so that he can go back to battle. Which I was like, fair play. He's got to do what he's got to do.
Yeah, true.
So we see Rhys, and he's now being interrogated. And some of the questions that are being asked is, he's asked, you're a soldier fighting for whom? The response is, he's with the 132nd under Perry from 21 to 27. They confirm that he means 2027. And he says, yes. And that's when he was transferred to be under John Connor. And that's when I realized that's in 3 years. Fun.
I mean, it's like, what's the big deal, right? I look around, it's like 2024. It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Apocalyptic world, whatever.
No. No. We're doing fine. Yeah,
exactly.
Look, we're doing better than where they thought we would be in the 80s. So I don't know if that's good or bad, because things are still not necessarily good.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. Yeah. So we then see that Ed's partner, who I don't think we know his name yet, he's thrilled. He's not thrilled about what's happening. And they ask him, who was the enemy? And then a computer defense system is what Rhys starts to say. But then Silberman's pager goes off. And I was like, is this important? Is this going to come back? Why is it so important that they cut him off here and have that pager go off? Because what I've noticed in this film is that they are very specific on anything that happens. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens just because it's meant to. Like, there's always some meaning to why something is happening.
Yes, James Cameron for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know why, but I'm keeping my eye on Silverman. And this is where I felt like the starting of can we trust him kind of comes in. Of why is his pager going off? He should be more of a professional that if he's in an interrogation, he turns off his pager.
Yeah, precisely.
So it's odd to me on why his pager is still on. Anyway, Rhys finishes. A computer defense system built but for SAC-NORAD by Cyberdyne Systems. Silberman asks if the computer thinks it can win by killing the mother of its enemy, killing him before he is conceived, aka a retroactive abortion. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was just a very powerful line.
Yes.
Just something that you don't really hear much. And, you know, you hear a lot about abortion just in the news, in media. Mm-hmm. Everyone's probably heard about it if you are an adult. If you were a child, maybe not. Depends on how old you are. But I thought it was just a very interesting line of how they approached it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was something interesting for sure. Like, it gives you some pause to think about it and think about what it really means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see the partner telling Ed that Silberman cracks him up. Last week, a guy burned his Afghans. He's screwed at first, and then Ed just tells him to shut up. But then he also says, Ed, shut up. Are they both named Ed?
Never thought of that. Things that make
you've never thought of that?
Never thought about it. It just...
Great. So now here's the question, ladies and gentlemen, that I have for you as listeners. Are both of them named Ed? Because if so, that is lazy writing, and you are allowed to buy an extra name for another cop.
I'll have to check that out again.
Yeah.
That just blew over my head.
Feel like his name is also Ed, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, I never thought about it. I was just kind of in the moment, waiting for the next scene, the Terminator.
That's completely fair. I really didn't care about him. Honestly, he's a little underwhelming for me. So, like, you know what? Like, he's not really doing a whole lot for me. He's menacing, sure. But, at the end of the day, I'm like, fine. I'm more interested in, like, the mystery of what's going on.
Yes.
So, I really don't care about the Terminator, oddly enough.
You should.
People have told me this, but it hasn't happened yet. We'll see. But so Silverman asks Reese why the computer didn't kill Connor then. Mm-hmm. Why the elaborate scheme with the Terminator? And Reese responds, saying, "It had no choice. Their defense grid was smashed. We'd won. Taking out Connor then would have made no difference. Mm-hmm. Skynet had to wipe out his entire existence." Mm-hmm. Silberman follows this up, asking if, you know, this was the equipment that he meant, the time displacement equipment, and Reese confirms that it is. He said that the Terminator went through, Connor sent him to intercept, and they blew the whole place up. So Silberman then asks a very important question, which I also had after the statement. How are you supposed to get back? And this is where we see Reese come clean, and he says, "I can't. Nobody goes home. Nobody else goes through.
Yeah.
It's just him and me."
Scary, man. I'm telling you.
And this is where I had a thought, because my brain's like, questions. Is Reese going to end up marrying Sarah and being John Connor's dad?
Mm.
And I say, I think it may be possible because we haven't learned Reese's last name. And it's a little odd that John has Sarah's last name. And the only reason I say that is most people in the world tend to take the father's last name over the mother's maiden name as their last name. Mm-hmm. You know, just the vast majority of people. But then again, we don't know who the father is, so it's possible that Reese becomes the father. It's also possible that Reese is not the father and Reese is actually John Connor. And if Reese is John Connor...
Well, we know one thing for sure. It's not the Terminator's kid.
Yes. Well, I don't know. So
Terminator's
the reason,
not the father. In the case of John Connor,
I don't
Terminator,
think he
you
is.
Are not the father.
Good. But here's the thing, and I'm still going to be really mad if this happens, because somewhere along the line in the last episode, there was a line that was saying, machines deserve love too.
Oh my goodness.
Right? And I was so livid, and I will be next episode, which you are going to be the guest on, so you get to see me either be livid or satisfied, because I still don't know how this film ends. But I'll fill you in. If this film ends with the Terminator deciding not to kill Sarah because of the power of love, I am going to be furious.
Oh, I like that. Cue the music.
I don't know if this is happening, but if he is...
I
appreciate you not saying anything. I appreciate that you can't say anything. Well done. But I will be furious if the Terminator is defeated by the power of love, like every Disney movie. This isn't how this works.
Whole new world.
It has a whole new meaning.
Oh yeah, that'd be something. I don't know.
So, I'm thinking that Reese is either gonna be John Connor's dad, or Reese is actually John Connor. I think one of these is true.
I never thought about him being John Connor. That's an interesting perspective. Yeah.
I think one of these is true. I feel more confident on Reese being John Connor's dad than I do Reese being John Connor. Because if Reese was John Connor...
He's so passionate about his cause, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and something later that happens doesn't add up if Reese is also John Connor. And we'll get to that a little later in the episode.
Okay.
So that's why I'm slightly more leaning towards Reese potentially becoming John's father, who isn't talked about much.
Right.
But we'll see. I don't know. So many questions left unanswered. So, yes, it very much is. So meanwhile, Terminator has patched up his arm. Good for him. However, he then takes the X-Acto knife and attacks his eye because... can't have that holding him back. Mm-mm, that's unacceptable. We don't see a lot of how he manages
did he see through the eye to begin with
to do this. Well, it is a robot. It's just flesh. He can see through it anyway. Is
yes. X-ray
what
vision.
I'm assuming. But also, the other thing that I'm assuming is right now, maybe the left eye isn't working and it's only the right eye that's working.
Hmm.
Because it's all bloody in the front. Oh, wow. Maybe he can't see it and he can only see out of his right eye.
Right.
It's a possibility. Maybe that's why he has to take out the eye. So what we do see is that he takes out the eye and he drops it in the water. He cleans off his face.
Oh, man.
And we now see that his cyborg eye. And we see that it is red and still very much working.
Oh, yeah.
He grabs some sunglasses. And I was like,
Gargoyles.
Cool. Sorry?
They're the name of the brand on the shades.
Oh.
Yeah, Gargoyles. I guess it was a popular thing back then.
Yeah, I guess so. I was not around in the 80s, so do not know. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Not an expert on the 80s. But, yeah, so he grabs some sunglasses, and I just have a note. Good day at the office. He's back in business. Let's go.
He checks his hair, too. He does this thing like, okay, this is...
He does.
Really good.
If he's going to go murder, he's going to make sure he looks good about it. Yeah, he is a man of business. When he does something of business, he dresses up. He makes sure that he looks his Sunday best.
Yeah, I thought he would use some gel, maybe some gel. Put some gel.
No. Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't need any gel to fix his hair. His hair just naturally does the swoosh.
Yeah.
My hair is just naturally long and messy, which is why currently, for anyone listening to just the audio version, you can't see it, but I am wearing a bright red beanie today. So.
Pretty cool,
too. Yeah, sometimes your hair just doesn't want to listen.
Yeah. Yeah, I know all about it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just mean. So, Terminator goes over, he grabs some more guns, climbs out the window, great, we're back in business, and I just go, lovely, he's gonna go off and find Sarah again, I'm down. I do appreciate, at least in terms of, like, being an actor, like, I feel like his motivation at any given time for any given scene is the best motivation of all time. Not necessarily, okay, that might be a stretch, but it's fantastic motivation in the sense that any given scene, his motivation is find and kill Sarah Connor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very
this is
determined.
It. This is the only thing his motivation is. And
that's it.
Like, yeah. Five, as an actor, two, that's so satisfying.
Sarah
you always
Connor.
Know what your motivation is.
Yes, precisely. He's ready. That's his mission.
He knows what he needs to do. And sometimes, you know, we always talk about, as actors, like, what's my motivation? And it is very important, but sometimes I feel like, you know, it's not necessarily always the most important thing. Sometimes you might not know your motivation, but you need to just understand why you were saying what you were saying so that you can say it with truth. So it goes both ways. Motivation is important, but then also understanding why you need to say what you say, even if you don't understand the motivation behind it. Mm-hmm. You still need to be truthful behind it. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Ed and the partner. I'm just going to call him partner. But listeners, please do let me know if anyone else caught that both of these guys are named Ed. And if they are actually both named Ed or if they have different names in the credits. And I'm just reading way too much into this. But again, two things that are going to make me very upset is one, if the Terminator is defeated by the power of love, and two, if these are both named Ed. If both of these people are named Ed, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah, it's something. We'll see. We'll see.
At least name someone Eddie.
Edward.
Yeah. You have so many options. So, meanwhile, they're all there. Silberman is there. Sarah is there as well. And there's some blonde cop in the back. Do you know who this is?
No.
Great.
I can't remember.
Lovely. He's there. He's hanging out. They're all watching the tape of Reese's interview. And we pick up where we have left off. And Silberman is asking, why didn't you bring any weapons? Something more advanced, a ray gun. I want to see something of future technology. Reese explains. You go naked. Something about the field generated by a living organism. Nothing dead will go. I didn't build the f-ing thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This makes sense of why they are naked at the beginning.
Yes.
Cool. Don't need much more explanation than that to me. Like,
yeah,
you know, there is good continuity. Both people coming from the future, naked. Great, we can move. Silberman asks, you know, to pause the tape, so they do. And he says that he could make a career out of Reese. He's clever, and it doesn't require a shred of proof. Most paranoid delusionals are intricate, but this one is just brilliant. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's almost like he's telling you the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Very convincing.
Very, very convincing. And I did note that many times in life, like, we do often find it hard to grasp the truth if it's something that we never believed is possible. You know, when, you know, you see it in sports, simply put, all the time, when you see someone doing something that, you know, no one believed is possible, it's like, oh, like, you know, he's this, he's that, like, they're starting to throw names around, and it's just like, no, it's just that he works significantly harder than any of you. He is physically gifted and is just really good at what he does.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. Different here, obviously, in terms of, like, the truth, but...
Can't handle the truth, man.
Can't handle the truth.
Can't handle the truth.
Can't handle the truth. Okay. So, Silberman asks why the other Sarah Connors were killed. And Reese explains this as well, very succinctly. Most records were lost in the war. Skynet knew almost nothing about Connor's mother. Her full name, where she lived. They just knew the city. Terminator was just being systematic. Fair enough. Fair enough to Terminator. He's doing his job. Again, I don't really have much ill will towards the Terminator, nor does he really scare me all that much.
Oh, good for you.
I mean, I do think it helps that I'm watching this for the first time as a 26-year-old during daylight.
Yeah, I think so. Not a 12-year-old or 11-year-old.
Yeah. I am watching this when I am 26 in, you know, the sun. Well, yeah. No, I'm watching it as it's sunny outside. I'm not outside
daylight.
In the sun.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's daylight outdoors. So, Silberman wants to go back, but Reese has had enough, and... yells at Silberman, and he says, I've heard enough. I've answered your questions. I have to see Sarah Connor.
Yeah, that's enough of that stuff, man. Let's do it.
Fair enough. Reese is like, I'm done with this. Let's go. Silberman says that it is not up to him. And then Reese gets even more mad, which I do appreciate. And he's like, then why am I talking to you? Who is in authority here?
Yeah. Get to the point, you know, he's getting to the point.
I appreciate that he's like, okay, I've told you what I needed. Why am I wasting my time speaking with you if you don't have any authority?
Right. Like, screw you.
Yeah. I do appreciate that Silberman is trying to do his job. He tries to calm Reese down, tells him to shut up. Reese then looks directly into the camera and says, you still don't get it, do you? He'll find her. That's what he does. That's all he does.
Yeah.
You can't stop him. He'll reach down her throat and pull her heart out. And then Ed has the wherewithal to pause the video.
Yeah. Because he was cued by someone else to pause it. He was going to let it play. They said
Silberman was going to let it play. Ed tells Silberman to pause the video.
Yeah.
So
this is what I'm talking about. It's like, this guy. What's wrong with him? He's supposed to be a psychologist.
He's an interesting one.
Yeah,
for sure.
He's screwy.
That's for sure. Yeah. So, I just great scene by the actor who's playing Reese. Very
Absolutely.
Well done. Very believable the entire time.
Yes.
I really enjoyed this scene. And I really liked how we got to see the scene in multiple different camera shots as well.
Yeah,
we got to see it as the playback. We got to see it live. We got to see it from both points of view.
Yes.
I do think they did a very good job of showing us the passage of time.
Yes.
As well as this is what has happened in this conversation.
Yeah. Excellent filmmaking, telling you.
Yeah, fantastic. So they pause the video. Sarah asks, is he crazy? And I do appreciate this. So Brimman goes, well, the technical terminology is that he is a loon.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Fair enough. So the partner, who I refuse to call Ed, so I'm just calling him partner. Partner brings in some body armor worn by one of the TAC guys, or TAC guys, and it will stop a 12-gauge round. The other individual must have been wearing one of these, is what they say. And Sarah then asks, okay, well, what about when he punched through the windshield? And the partner says, well, he was probably on PCP, broke every bone in his hand, wouldn't feel it for hours. Do you know what PCP is?
Yeah, it's like it gives this adrenaline rush. It's a drug.
It's a drug. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I've never heard of it. So
yeah, it's would have been something that's very prevalent for that time, and up until probably the 90s when you were a toddler.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah, so I can't remember what PCP stands for specifically, but yeah, that's what it did. It had people flipping cars and doing weird stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and then
PCP
they die because then their body falls apart, right?
Yeah, so the quick search says that it's a phencyclidine. I have no idea if I'm pronouncing this right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's okay. Pretty close.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, it is spelled phencyclidine. If anyone knows how to pronounce that, let us know.
That's what they say. PCP.
That was my best guess.
Makes it easier.
Yeah. Phencyclidine is my best guess. If I'm wrong, someone let me know.
Yeah.
Won't be the first time that I'm wrong on mispronouncing words.
Yeah. So
they say that Terminator is probably on drugs. And that's why he couldn't feel anything. The partner then starts talking about a scar. Ed shuts him up. I love that he shuts him up by just giving him the body armor. Perfect. No notes. Wonderful. I love Ed. Ed's great.
You know what? I was very curious about why he didn't show the scanner, the tattoo that he had, Reese, because he showed it to Sarah earlier.
Maybe he doesn't fully trust the police.
True. You're right.
I mean, he did kind of want to get out of the car and start shooting at them until Sarah said no.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he doesn't fully trust the police. So that's my understanding of it. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe this gets answered. So Ed tells Sarah to try and get some sleep on the couch at least 1 hour before her mother can get here. And Sarah can't sleep, but Ed says, look, at least try. And, you know, it doesn't look like it, but the couch is very comfortable. And good guy Ed over here helps her get comfy. He covers her with a blanket, says she'll be very safe. There are 30 cops in the building, which I immediately followed up with, ah, we're in for another bloodbath.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I wrote a note and I was like, so I am fully expecting another bloodbath. She is not safe by any means. Most of the cops are going to die. Reese will save her and maybe a few of the other cops, and that's when they'll realize that he's telling the truth, is my guess on what is about to happen. So let's take a look at what's about to happen. So Silberman heads out for the night, and as he's leaving, his pager goes off again, and he doesn't see Terminator walk in. And this is why I feel like Silberman is working with Terminator. Is because there have been too many convenient times that his pager has gone off to where he hasn't noticed something. But it's gone off in a weird sense. So I don't trust him. We'll see what happens. This is the last we see him so far in the film. He hasn't returned for any of my viewing pleasure yet. But we'll see if he comes back or if he just truly is a psychologist who is bad at his job.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll find out. So the Terminator he strolls in and says that I am a friend of Sarah's, and you know, he asks to see her.
He's a lying guarded Terminator. He's not a friend.
Hey. He might be lying, but you cannot deny he is doing his job at a high level.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's like, where did he get that from?
The lying?
Yeah.
He's always had that. He's just never needed to.
Yeah. He's a friend. Okay.
He's a friend. Of course he is. A friend shows up trying to murder you. That sounds right, right? Well, I mean, like, you know, it depends on how good of a friend you are. So, yeah, I mean, maybe your friend doesn't show up with multiple automated automated weapons, but they might show up with a vengeance to give you a good ass whooping if you've made them mad enough.
Yeah.
Depends on the friend and depends on the situation.
Guess so. Yeah. It's a scary friend.
Yeah, a very scary friend. So, can't see her. She's given a statement, and Terminator asks where she is, and the cop at the entrance just tells him that, hey, this might take a while. If you want to wait, there's a bench. So the Terminator looks around and then says, I'll be back. Which, let's be honest, that was very underwhelming. I was like, seriously? That's the iconic line? That's it? He just leaves? What was this? But this is terrible. Oh, okay. He's driven a car through a wall. Okay.
Before that, he looked around.
Look around.
To see, okay, well, how can this thing hold up? He was checking
things out. Yeah. He does look around the whole thing and then says the line. But I was like, this is terrible. Is this the iconic? Like, this is a terrible. Like, why is this such an iconic line? I don't get it. This doesn't make any sense. And this is what's going through my head. And then I'm like, oh, well, this was fun. He's back. And in spectacular fashion as well, as he is driving a car through the front door of the police station and straight at the desk, killing the cop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I see why it's iconic.
Yes. Yep. But he was back. Yeah,
he did in fact come back quite soon.
Sooner than expected, in dramatic fashion.
He knows how to make an entrance. Mm-hmm. So Sarah is woken by this commotion. The Terminator gets out, and hey, guess what? He has guns, and the music begins. And I was like, ah, the massacre. Now, I pointed out a couple things about some of these cops as they are being killed. Pretty much, ladies and gentlemen, the next like 3 minutes of this is just really the Terminator blowing up this police station. But one of the cop just wanted his coffee. The poor guy, he's like the first one that gets killed before he realizes what's going on. And he had just walked out of the break room with a cup of coffee and just gets murdered. Like, poor guy. Three of them are just like at their desk. And one of them's, like, still on the phone. And I'm like, how do these cops hear the gunfire from the first guy, but then just proceed to stay on the phone and not do anything? Or, like, put down the phone, pick up a gun. Like, nah, I'm going to stay on the phone.
Yeah, it's strange because even the when he rode in through the front, it woken Sarah. And so she was like, you know, she was on her guard. And so what was happening with them? I don't know.
No, none of them were paying attention. That would be too easy. No.
Yeah.
Paying attention? Oh. Overrated. So, meanwhile, Sarah's getting more and more anxious with each bullet she hears go off. And Ed tells Sarah to stay put. And the Terminator, meanwhile, is doing quite well for himself. He has managed to find the fuse box. And he pulls out the massive wire that's connecting the fuse boxes to everything else. And then he uses that to then electrocute the fuse box and take out the power. Very smart, because he can still see in the dark due to his eyes. So very, very smart on his part. He is an efficient killer. Although not really, because he still failed at what he is trying to do. Spoiler alert. But he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
Yeah. So Reese is still tied up, and the partner leaves and tells another cop to watch him. As soon as the partner leaves, Reese springs into action, knocks down the cop, and manages to kick his gun away. Presumably, he's trying to get his handcuffs off when he, like, leans down and starts, like, fumbling through the guy's pockets. It cuts away. We never see it. But the next time around, he doesn't have any handcuffs on. So I'm assuming this is what is being done, is that he's just trying to get his handcuffs off. Sarah, still scrambling. The partner, meanwhile, he is given a gun and he joins the fight. And I'm like, oh, he's going to die, isn't he? So Sarah hides under a table of her room. Smart, stay out of sight. And Terminator takes a few bullets, but none of them hurt him. It's just child's play to him. He shoots and, you know, kills and, you know, just shoots back. It's all good. He gets hit. Nothing too bad. He just keeps moving. He's fine. It's not like M16s a 12 gauge shot. Nothing to him.
Can you imagine that? M16, he's shot with M16s and does nothing.
No. He's a unit. Of course not. So right. Sarah is still standing and hiding and everything while the Terminator walks down the hall, and he has a fire in the back, which is, you know, kind of cool. And then the hall is just littered with bodies, and he's stepping over them and just slowly making his way down. Ed jumps out of a room. He connects. He shoots. He hits the Terminator. But in retaliation, the Terminator turns around and shoots Ed. Ed is down. Ed is not dead, but Ed is down. Ed is injured. Mm-hmm. The partner then jumps out, yells at the Terminator, starts shooting. Terminator just turns around and shoots. I'm assuming the partner is dead.
Yeah, I think so.
We cut away, so I don't fully know, but my assumption is that he is dead. My assumption is that he is dead, but Ed is still alive.
Possibly.
I think Ed is still alive. I don't think Ed is dead. So, we see a shadow. It's outside of room 2, which is where Sarah is hiding. The person breaks the glass, and he opens the locked door. And hey, look, it's Reese! And I was like, aw, lovely! Reese is back! Sarah hears Reese, and they run together. And off they go. Through the blazing police station they go, and the Terminator cannot find them. But he hears the car pulling out of the parking lot. And Reese and Sarah have managed to escape for now. Now, the Terminator does start to give pursuit. And I do like how the Terminator never runs.
No, doesn't have to.
He is much more menacing of a killer when it's just like, I know I can catch you. Yeah. You can run. You can't hide.
Exactly. That's what makes it so scary, I'm telling you. This thing's terrifying.
Again, I don't know. For me, man's just trying to do his job. Look, don't get me wrong. It's a horrible, horrible job, and the cyborg shouldn't be killing the
human. Put yourself in Sarah and Reese's shoes, okay?
It's terrifying. Exactly.
Something's pursuing you. You can't kill it. You shoot it. You do all sorts of things. You can't kill it.
Yes, but PT, we have to understand one very important fact. I'm not them.
True.
Nor am I playing them.
True.
See, if I was playing the character of Reese, then by all means, this would be the most terrifying thing.
Right.
If I'm playing Sarah, it would be horrible. Hmm. I'm not. Terminator seems cool. Like, he's a man on a mission. Well, he's a cyborg on a mission. And the mission, sadly, is to kill, but he's on a mission. And he's menacing, and I'm here for it. On this beautiful note of you thinking that I'm a crazy human being, we're going to take a quick intermission to talk about, like, just housekeeping things, and then we'll come back.
Hi, this is Steven. Thank you for watching Co-op Forge. If you like our content, wish to support our editing staff or all, please subscribe to our Patreon and link down below. You'll get bonus footage and many other fun activities out of it. In our description, you'll also find links to our social media, where we'll post about our new episodes. Flip the Scripts is every Friday, Seattle Across the Pond is every other Thursday, and Post Finale is posted every Wednesday. Thank you for watching. Now back to the main episode.
So we're back, and we hear on the radio, this is what we hear. KFLB News Time, 4.36. Top story. The largest single law enforcement mobilization in California is currently underway. Police in 5 counties are engaged in a massive manhunt for and then it trails off and we don't hear the rest. So we don't know who it's for. Now, by 4.36, did they mean 4:36 a.m.?
Possibly.
Possibly. Okay. Because I started paying attention to the time earlier in the film. And I clocked a time when it was 10:40. And then we clocked that it was 11. But then we haven't clocked since then what time it is. I haven't been able to find a clock anywhere in any of the shots. So, don't know. It might be 4:36 a.m. I'll keep you all posted if I find a clock. So, while this radio message is coming through, we see that the gas tank has come to empty. And Reese and Sarah have gotten out of the car. Reese pops open the trunk. They grab a couple things. And then they push the car off the road so that it's not clearly visible to anyone coming down the road. Reese is very smart. This isn't his first rodeo in hiding.
Right.
So they head into the woods and Sarah is freezing. And Reese goes over, hugs her, tries to keep her warm. And Sarah asks Reese what his first name is. And he says it's Kyle. Now, I'm sorry. What the hell? Like, his first name isn't Reese?
Yeah, Kyle. Kyle means handsome, so that's a good name.
Sure. But you're saying that his name is Kyle Reese.
Yeah. It has a nice ring to it, don't you think?
I don't know. I don't really.
It does.
I'm not saying that Reese is a bad name. I've never heard of Reese be the last name.
Yeah, that's what makes him so cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can agree to disagree.
Okay.
I'm going to call him Reese.
All right.
I'm not calling him Kyle. But I do feel vindicated because, like, she calls him Kyle, like, once and then calls him Reese again. So, like, I'm okay. I'm not doing horrible, terrible things here. So she asks Reese, you know, what's it like going through time? And Reese just says, I don't know, white light, pain. It's like being born, maybe. And that's when Sarah notices blood. And Reese says, oh, I caught one. And Sarah's like, you got shot? And Reese is just like, it's not bad. I love that his reaction is the same as what most people do when they're in a situation where they're like, they don't want the other person to like worry about them.
Yeah. Typical.
Just like, I fell off my bike. How is it? Not bad. In reality, like, you know, you broke your leg. Whoops.
Yeah. Well, not so bad. He's good. He's strong. There's small things for him.
Yeah. It is. It's just a small little nick in the time. So Sarah, you know, has noticed this and she's like, all right, we need to take him to the doctor. And Reese is like, no, forget this. Sarah's not going to listen and tells him to take off his jacket. And the bullet, good news, is that it passed right through the meat, meaning that it didn't hit any bone. It's just merely a flesh wound. So Sarah says that she's going to puke and asks Reese to start talking about something. She doesn't know what. Just anything, and asks Reese to tell her about her son. So Reese tells him. He says he's about my height, had your eyes, you trust him, he's got his strength. I'd die for John Connor. Sarah jokes and tells him at least she knows what to name him, and then asks Reese who the father is so that she doesn't tell him to get lost. Reese divulges that John never spoke much about him. Reese knows that he died before the war, and that's when Sarah stops him, and Sarah says that she doesn't want to know. So Sarah asks if John sent him here, and Reese says that he volunteered. It was the chance to meet a legend. And Sarah's confused by this. And, you know, Sarah is like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, Sarah Connor taught her son to fight. Organize, prepare for when he was a kid, when you were in hiding before the war. Why was she in hiding before the war happened?
That's something to think about.
Okay, We'll move on because maybe you can't say anything, and I respect that with that answer. So, yep, I appreciate you keeping your lips sealed. Moving on. So Sarah says him talking about things, you know, she hasn't done yet in the past tense is driving her crazy. And she pulls hard on Reese's bandage and Reese tightens with pain. Sarah asks if, you know, he's even sure that she has the right person. And he is sure he has the right person. She then asks, you know, what do I look like? The mother of the future? Am I tough, organized? I can't even balance my checkbook. And Sarah says that she didn't want this on her. She doesn't want it. She never asked for it. She doesn't want any of this. And Reese tells her he has a message for her. Made him memorize it. And the message is, thank you, Sarah, for your courage through the dark years. I can't help you with what you must face soon. The future is not set. You must be stronger than you imagine you can be. You must survive or I will never exist. Beautiful. This is one thing that makes me think that Reese is not the kid. This is the first thing that makes me think Reese is not John, but that John is an actual another human being, but that Reese might be the father.
Okay.
So Sarah has done a good field dressing on Reese's wound. It's her first. And Reese tells her to sleep. Sarah asks him to talk a bit more about where he's from. So Reese says, you know, you stay down by day. You can move at night. Still have to be careful as the HKs have infrared, but not too bright. And John taught them ways to dust them. That's when the infiltrators started to appear. Terminators were the newest, the worst. So this is where we jump into a flashback. And oh boy, is it a flashback. So we're taken back. And it's a weird thing. Because it's a flashback, but it's also in the future. So would you call it a flash forward? Or is it a flashback because it's in his previous tense? I don't know. What do you think the right terminology is?
His point of view is from his point of view, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, so then it's a flashback.
Great. It is a flashback. Lovely. Yeah. I don't know. You're the writer. This is why I ask you. Yeah. I write lyrics. I don't write scripts. So
yeah, you're still a writer, though.
I am still a writer, just in a different way. Yeah. So, yeah, we're taken back to the future. Fantastic film.
Yes.
So, I have seen those, ladies and gentlemen. So, like, I'm not completely useless at seeing old classics. I have seen all of the Back to the Future films. I have seen those. Just mainly useless in seeing most of the classics.
Yeah, that's okay. You're catching up, so you're doing good.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I've seen a good number at this point. So, you know, we're working our way through. So, we are back in the future, as I have said like three times at this point, and I should get past this at this point. So, we see a plane, and we are following a group of human soldiers. And they're making their way through a building of sorts, and then they head down underground into a bunker. And Reese is back, and we see that they're living in the bunker, and kids are playing soldier. He plays back, which I think is adorable. Like, it's just like, you know, he realizes, hey, life is terrible, but at the same time, like, we gotta be able to have the light, and like, you know, we can joke around and crack a small joke here and there and things like that. But what made me a little more confident that he isn't actually John Connor is that when he gets back to the bunker, he addresses himself as Reese.
Yeah.
And they let him in. Mm-hmm. And if he was actually John Connor, why would he lie to the rebels on who he is?
Yeah. They could.
Why would he lie saying that he is Reese when he is truly John?
Right.
When all the rebels should know this.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of sick and wounded in this bunker. The kids are watching a fire inside of a broken TV. Very, very invigorating and also very, very sad that this is the state that they've come to in this war. And we hear lots of crying and sobbing in the background. You can tell that there are a lot of people sick. There are a lot of people injured here. It's not the healthiest of living conditions. Like, they are running on scraps.
Yeah. Reese, just torment. Just living torment. In torment, yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. So Reese sits down and rests. And from his shoulder, he pulls out a photo of Sarah. And I was like, why does he have a photo of Sarah? And he's kind of looking at it with love. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why does he have a photo of Sarah? But before we can get any type of answer, a Terminator bursts through the doors and he has entered the hideout. And he starts doing what Terminators do best, killing people. So Terminator starts murdering everybody he sees. The dogs are barking. The dogs are upset. Terminator is knocking them down one by one as they come through. And then he aims at the dogs and kills the dogs. What did the dogs do? Like, don't kill the dogs. Humans, fine. Like, you shouldn't kill humans either. But, like, that might have been your mission. Don't kill the puppers. They were just doing what they were told. I'm sure that they could probably learn to love you as well if you took them on your side.
They serve a specific purpose too. You'll find out later.
The dogs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Did he kill? What did he? No, he killed important dogs.
Yeah.
Not just all. Now I feel worse. PT, what'd you do? Yeah. Okay. Well, now I feel worse because I don't know what this purpose is. I don't know why. Okay. I guess I'll just have to find out why he killed the dogs. Anyway,
yeah.
Reese comes up and he starts firing at the Terminator. Terminator keeps firing and he blows something up in the background, which makes Reese go flying. And in this process, he loses the photo of Sarah and it starts to burn away in the flames. And as the photo burns away, we're brought back to the present of Sarah sleeping, and this is where we're ending today's episode. Any thoughts, anything that we didn't hit that you want to talk about in this portion of the film, PT? Anything that I didn't notice, anything that you want to bring up?
You're spot on. You covered everything that I would have had I been in your position, but I'm not.
Fair.
Any
fun facts about this film that you can tell me without spoiling anything, or do we need to wait until next week so that we feel safe for any fun facts so that the spoilers are, we can be spoiler free because at that point I will have watched the whole film?
Okay. Well, I think this is something that I found fun. I loved Reese's sneakers, his tennis shoes. And
the black and white ones.
Yes, the Vandals. They're Nike Vandals.
Yeah.
And they were shown in the beginning, obviously, when you would have seen that when he stole them. And in the police station, there was a close up on them again. So they are almost like a character in the film, which I thought was interesting because they're pretty cool. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I 100% understood. And what I learned with talking to Bob on some of the earlier episodes for this film, what I learned from him was that these were very popular Nike sneakers that came out in the 80s.
Yeah. There was a lot of attention on them because there was the scene where he was handcuffed and, and officer down, he kneed him in the stomach and then he, got the keys and it was just like this close up, this all this time spent from every angle, almost at 180.
Product placement for the win.
I know. And so, yeah, I thought it was cool anyway.
Nice. Yeah. Well, very good. PT, thank you so much for joining this week. This has been an absolute blast.
Yep.
And you're going to be the guest next week talking about Terminator. I'm very intrigued on how this ends. Like I said, I'm really holding out hope that it doesn't end with the power of love. But never say never. Things have ended in weirder ways.
Yeah.
So But in the meantime, if anyone wants to find you and all the amazing work that you're doing, how can the listeners find you? How can they stay in touch with you? Where do they go to find all of that information?
They can find me on Facebook, PT Russell, or at Journaling with PT, and check out podcasts on Spotify and everywhere else where they can find, whatever they're listening at Journaling with PT.
Wonderful. Well, PT, thank you so much for joining this week. Listeners, thank you so much for listening. And until next week, when we get to the big conclusion of Terminator, I'll catch y'all later.